George, you know this as an official, like your communication with the coaches is paramount. It's paramount. There have been plenty of times where I'm like, Coach, I think I might have missed it, you know? And then they're like, they're still angry, but they tend to let it go. But they might throw it back in your face later in the game.
Welcome back to the D-Fly from Dixie podcast, featuring Big Ten Network, ESPN, and Inside Lacrosse analyst, and my Blue Jay brother, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. Today's show is presented by Indutex USA, a global leader in manufacturing personal protective equipment. Lots to get to this week, so Dixie, let's get it. Dix, can you believe it's already the end of March?
I think every week we make the same similar comment. You know, we just can't believe that the season is chugging along. It used to be, when I say used to, now I'm going to date myself once again and be the old guy, but we didn't open our season until the first weekend in March. So the preseason seemed to last forever. And the preseason started first week of February was when we would start practicing. And the preseason seemed to last an eternity. And then once that first game hit, before you knew it, we were playing Towson, which was Towson or Loyola, which would, you know, became our last regular season game. I don't feel like the preseason lasts as long this, you know, in current day, because these kids start beginning in January. And then by February, you're playing games. So those doldrums and those super cold months go by quickly because they're playing. But we talked about it last week. When a college football champion is crowned, it's like, okay, time for lacrosse practice to start. And then when an NCAA basketball tournament champion is crowned, then we're like, okay, now it's really lacrosse season. So we're on the weekend of the Final Four. But man, what a season it's been thus far. And yeah, I can't believe that we are only, what, four or five weeks left in the regular season?
That's
before we get
crazy.
Into conference championship play, and then we'll be in the NCAA tournament. So
yeah,
moving
right
along.
It's crazy to think that there's only 4 weeks left, maybe in the regular season, until we get into, you know, conference tourneys at the beginning of May. So as we always do, let's start last week and move into some, there were some pretty significant midweek games that set up this weekend. And then of course we'll get to our weekend previews, but let's start with last week. There was a big monumental game in South Bend, Virginia playing Notre Dame. And Virginia handled them.
Yeah, so much for my comparison to Notre Dame of 2023 looking like Virginia of 06, potential to go perfect and have maybe three position players of the year. Virginia just got out quick. And I was watching, we were watching Loyola Army. So we were flipping between that and Virginia Notre Dame. And when I flipped on Virginia Notre Dame, I think it was toward the end of the first quarter, it was what, 5-1 Cavaliers. I was like, whoa, like to go into our Arlotta in that environment. It was a packed house, and Virginia just, they showed who they were on the road against, up until then, the undefeated and undisputed number one in the country. So give a lot of credit to the Cavaliers for showing up the right way and getting that big victory.
Any other thoughts rounding out last weekend's games? You covered a couple of them.
Yeah, Big Ten play started. And so I think you have to look at, I had Maryland, Penn State, was incredibly impressed by Penn State. But Maryland, it's funny, I'll talk to people before the game, then I talk to them after the game. They're like, yeah, Maryland's just not that good. They're just not that good. And you're like, what are you comparing it to? Are you comparing it to last year's undefeated team that was one for the ages? Are you comparing it to the 2021 team that made the national championship game and lost by a goal to Virginia? Like, what are you comparing that to? Yeah, they probably don't have the star power. They don't have necessarily the ability to run you off the field, but they still find ways to win, as evidenced by the overtime victory against Virginia now 2 weeks ago. And then against Penn State, they got out to a lead, and then the Nittany Lions were tearing them apart on inverts behind the goal, using two-man games, pick plays, and Maryland looked like they'd never defended. behind the goal before with short sticks. And they made adjustments at halftime, came out, got great. As long as you have Luke Wehrman, that is not even an X factor. That's like an XYZ factor for the Maryland Terrapins. He's so good and so dominant. But Penn State faced off pretty well in the second half against him. They just execute at a really high level and make big plays at the right time. Maryland knocks off Penn State. First time in person I was able to see Ohio State's new lacrosse stadium. Terrific. Fantastic. Had a great crowd, great environment for the Sunday night game on BTN, where Ohio State played like a team with its season on the line and really handled a Rutgers team that had come in with a lot of momentum. 11-7, I think, was the final. And then Hopkins, sandwiched in between those two games, nasty weather at Michigan, and took away a big victory out of Ann Arbor. So that was a takeaway. Princeton doubling up Yale. Second week in a row, Yale's been pasted, just pasted on the road, giving up, 20-plus goals.
Yeah.
So that was a big takeaway. North Carolina, 25 goals? I know they were in the 20s against Providence. And that's not a bad Providence team. You know, that's a team that's obviously going to grow and get better under Bobby Benson. But North Carolina putting up more than 20 goals, again, very, very impressive victory for them. And then Duke going to Hawk Hill, another hostile environment, another tough environment, lively environment, come away with a nice victory over the St. Joe's Hawks. And abundant lacks. I know you came at me on Twitter last week. Who am I voting number one? I voted Duke number one. How you like that?
Dix, you gotta be easier on some of our listeners. All right, so
I'm playing around, but I mean, you know, it's my vote. You know, not like I have to disclose it, but you know, Duke was my number two last week. They won. They go to number one.
All right, I see.
I think they got three or four first place votes too, so I'm not alone. But hey, we'll find out. We'll find out.
Will and we will, and we will get to that when we get to the game preview. So first, I want to start with some results from the midweek game on Monday night. Brown handed number six Villanova its second loss of the season, 13-11, and that was a big surprise. But Brown got a bunch of its guys back, so it's some of its seniors back, and it sets up a really interesting game this weekend at Princeton. Maybe Brown's a lot better than we've seen, and obviously in the last few weeks.
Yeah, my man Bill Friedman at the Big Ten Network, proud Bruno graduate, texted me after that. I mean, we're talking like 10 seconds after that final whistle, saying, huge win for the Bears. Do you think the NCAA committee will take into account they were missing key guys in early season losses? I said, no. You have a better chance of kissing Jesus than that happened. So, but Brown, they're showing what they can do when they're fully staffed, you know, full personnel playing in that game. Did you hear the story or the rumor of what happened with that suspension?
No, but I'd love for you to tell me.
I heard that they, you know, there was a party and a Brown football player allegedly tried to attend the party and was denied entry for whatever reason, and that individual called the police on the lacrosse team.
That's always cool to do.
Can you
That's
say
a cool move in college or
yeah,
anywhere?
How about that? Yeah. So that, again, that is, I heard that secondhand. I don't know if it's true. I'm not trying to cast aspersions at Brown football, but if that is true, that's pretty lame.
Super lame. That doesn't get you back on the invite list for the next one either.
Yeah, yeah. You're not getting past the velvet rope with activity behavior like that.
It doesn't get you to the front of the line. No, it does not. In other action, in the A-Sun, Jacksonville traveled to Cleveland, beat Cleveland State on Wednesday night, 14-12. Jacksonville's number 10 in the country, only one loss. More importantly, Utah grounded Air Force 18-11. It sets up a big Friday night A-Sun game in Utah against the Jacksonville Dolphins with first place on the line in the A-Sun. Both Utah and Jacksonville are undefeated currently in the A-Sun.
Yeah, and Jacksonville get you know, the one loss that they had to Johns Hopkins, I thought their defense was pretty porous. They didn't slide. Hopkins took advantage of short stick matchups the whole game long, but they got Max Waldbaum back. He didn't play in that game. He's a difference maker for the Dolphins. They've been living dangerously, however. They were tied with Mercer in the fourth quarter this past weekend before winning by two or three goals. Close game against Cleveland State. You mentioned Utah. I had a chance to see them in person when they played Johns Hopkins a few weeks back. I was impressed. They have a great shooter in Jordan Hyde. Really nice lefty. Balanced scoring, Tyler Bradbury, Hyde, Ryan Steins. And they, but I like their goaltender. Their goaltender, Connor Lensgold, is a young man, a freshman from Wilton, Connecticut, who's very talented. So this is exciting. When you have a conference like the Atlantic Sun, you know, we lament the demise of the SoCon, but with the Atlantic Sun, you know, matchups like this go, this in essence could be for the number one seed in the conference tournament and the inside track to getting the NCAA bid. So very exciting coming up.
Again, that'll be Friday night, 7 o'clock local time, 9 o'clock on the East Coast. There are a bunch of great games this weekend, including a top 10 battle in Baltimore, but the weekend kicks off with the best matchup of the week when number four Duke, who's 9-1 overall, undefeated in the ACC, travels to Charlottesville to take on the top-ranked Cavaliers, coming off a huge win in South Bend. That game's at 5 o'clock on ESPNU.
Yeah, this will be exciting. Prime to, you know, it's that happy hour lacrosse on the U. And this is a Duke team. You know, I think when you're looking at things, you're looking at Notre Dame, Virginia, Maryland, Duke as kind of being the four that have separated themselves. I'm not 100% sold on Maryland in that vein, and that might be – that flies in the face of what I just said about the Terps, and they got the win on the road against Virginia. Out of those teams, Maryland's probably the best coached from what I've seen, you know, through the years, and those are tremendous – four tremendous head coaches. But I think Maryland just finds ways to win like they did in Charlottesville. I think another team that you have to put in that mix is Cornell. Maybe that loss to Penn State proves to be an outlier. One person who's not, might not be. I mean, we're already starting to talk about best player in the country. I worked Maryland-Princeton women's game on Wednesday night, and people in the booth are like, oh, Twarton winner, Colin Schellenberger, right? Hands down, no question. Like, what? I mean, maybe, strong possibility, but there's a lot of great players out there, and we are still a long way away from being in D.C. in June to name the Tuaratón Trophy winner. But this game will be terrific. When you talk about the move from Andrew McAdory down to attack, makes Duke different. Face-off battle, Naso, LaSala will be terrific. Goaltending in this game is going to be huge. Neither team possesses one of those goalies that we're talking about in like the All-American atmosphere, but both very, very good. The shorties are going to play a huge role in this one. You know, Xander Dixon really putting together a terrific season for Virginia. I'm not sure why he's earned the nickname Slim Reaper. I mean, I thought that was Kevin Durant. But in any event, terrific game on the U. Can't miss. That's must-see TV.
Happy hour lacrosse, as they say, on Friday afternoon, 5 o'clock. Before we get to the Saturday slate of weekend preview games, Dick's got to ask a question. All your years in lacrosse as a player, coach, official, you obviously understand the value of safe, effective, and state-of-the-art protective equipment, right?
I do. I wish I would have had some protective equipment when I tore my Achilles playing pickleball.
Yeah, I'm sure you had a favorite trusted brand, right? Go-to yes. brand? Sure. Well, first responders and frontline workers have their own go-to brand for personal protective equipment, and that's Indutex. Indutex is a global leader in manufacturing of personal protective equipment. And Indutex's specialty is its unique designs to protect workers against chemical, biological, and particulate radioactive contamination. With more than 50 years of manufacturing and sales experience, Indutex is best known for its innovative safety products. And with a client list that includes organizations like the U.S. military, the New York Fire Department, the NYPD, Washington, D.C. police, the U.S. Secret Service, many hospitals and medical facilities, among others. Indutex is the brand that heroes wear. Indutex consistently manufactures highly technical products and materials which continue to protect workers' safety around the world. So protect yourself, protect your team, protect your business, protect our heroes. Indutex USA. All right, let's get to these Saturday games, Dixie. And the top one at noon, number 16, Denver, back on the East Coast again, taking on number 15, Georgetown, in the opener in the Big East for both of these teams.
Yeah, Georgetown started the year 0-3, and they've rattled off four straight victories, the latest of which a tough one at home against Lehigh, a very good Mountain Hawk team that is pretty good offensively this year. So, you know, Georgetown's won the last three Big East tournament championships, therefore the automatic qualifier to the NCAA tournament. This year looking more like a three-horse race. We'll see how Villanova responds to that loss against Brown. But Denver had a bye week last weekend, so they come back to the East Coast refreshed, ready to play. I think this Denver team might be better than people give it credit for, but we'll see, you know, this weekend as they travel into the nation's capital to take on Georgetown Hoyas, critical Big East matchup. So a big, big game when you determine seeding potentially down the road for the Big East tournament. We mentioned the Big Three, and that's not to take anything away from Marquette or Providence or St. John's. Marquette's taken down two Big Ten teams thus far in 2023, but you probably want to stay out of that 2-3 matchup. You can probably feel a lot better being the one playing the four. So big matchup this weekend at Cooper Field, D.C.
In the Ivy League, two teams coming off of losses last week. Number 20, Yale. It's 0-2 in the Ivy League now and really has some questions to be answered. We'll travel to Philadelphia to take on number 19, Penn, who's 1-1 now in the Ivy League. That game is at noon, and you can find it on ESPN+.
The Eli blasted 2 weeks in a row now by Cornell and by Princeton. So they've got some question marks defensively. You know, Yale's defense has been, I don't want to say sketchy. That's too, you know, they won a national championship in 2019, but that's kind of been their little bit of a kryptonite. But I've never seen a Yale team get blasted the way they have the last couple of weeks, let alone consecutively. So can they figure that out? They're going into danger zone time as well. They don't want to drop to 0-3 in the Ivies. Meanwhile, Penn, they scored the win over Princeton. That's a huge chip in their pocket. And now they drop a close one to Cornell. This team really misses Dylan Gergar. They really, really miss Gergar. They've got to establish more consistent scoring and dodging options outside of Sam Hamill. Should be a great game in the Ivies.
In the ACC, number 3, Notre Dame, coming off its first loss of the season, goes to the Dome, take on just outside the rankings, number 21 this week, Syracuse Orange.
You're very generous.
They are receiving votes in the top 20, and they are first out at number 21. The Orange are 6-4, 0-2 in the ACC. This game is for last place in the ACC, and it'll be at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, for now.
2 o'clock on ESPN Network. And the loser of this will be securely planted in the cellar of the ACC.
Yeah, look, don't think Notre Dame is aware of that, and they're going to be hungry after dropping that game at home to Virginia. Syracuse, recent wins over St. Bonaventure and Hobart. Obviously, the competition ramps up exponentially with Notre Dame coming into the Dome on Saturday. I look for Notre Dame to rebound in this one in a big way.
Top 10 battle in Baltimore in the Big Ten when number 9 Rutgers, 7-2 overall, takes on number 7 Johns Hopkins at Homewood Field. They're 8-3 now. This game is at 3 o'clock, and you can see it on ESPNU.
And Rutgers just did not look good offensively on Sunday night against Ohio State. They really missed Brian Cameron. He missed his second straight game. They were able to function better without him against UMass, but Ohio State at home, playing with purpose. Rutgers never got into a rhythm offensively, took a lot of shots off of primary dodges, didn't really work the ball around, took low angle shots. Skylar Wallen for Ohio State was terrific. Rutgers has to get back on track offensively. I like them defensively. Ethan Rawls, terrific at long stick midi. Bobby Russo did a really nice job on Jack Myers. Kyle Mullen, their goaltender, had a rough night. They're going into Homewood playing against a Hopkins team that is soaring right now, confidence-wise. Two wins in 3 days against Navy and Delaware. They go on the road, tough weather against Michigan. They get what? Well, they get five goals from Derek Dignan, 4 goals from Melendez, and 4 goals from Brendan Grimes. It's just like a rotation of guys who step up on a weekly basis for Hopkins. And all those injuries early in the year have just gotten other guys opportunities to play. And the depth of Johns Hopkins is terrific. ESPNU noon, it'll be Joe Beninati and Don Zimmerman, Zim, up in the booth for the Blue Jays, the former Blue Jays coach. This will be a terrific, important Big Ten game. All these games, when you talk about ACC, you talk about Ivy, you talk about Big Ten, it's like all these conference games are so important.
They're huge. And every week, and you go down to the what we call the mid-major conferences, they're huge games. You know, that Utah-Jacksonville game we talked about earlier, huge game. They're all big, and they're all rivals. And when you get into these old established leagues where they used to play in, all these teams, they know each other very well. Two teams that certainly know each other very well will play on Sunday in the biggest game on Sunday. Number 14, Ohio State at number 11, Penn State at noon on BTN Plus.
I think this game's actually an ESPN game. I believe it might be on ESPNU. So check your local listing. Check your local listing. I just sound like a commercial. Check the websites for each ball club. Ohio State, again, played like a team. Season was on the line. But when you look at that four games that Ohio State lost to Virginia, Cornell, Notre Dame, and Denver, I think it's set them up, prepared them well for the Big Ten slate. And they're going into Happy Valley against a Penn State team that, again, very impressed with what Penn State has. Offensively, the Trainer brothers, TJ Malone. Defensively, Jack Posey is really, really good. I like their goaltender, Jack Frassion. Ohio State, though, total team effort on Sunday night, but they had that home crowd behind them. They had that home field advantage. Now you go into Panzer. Hopefully the Penn State faithful show up in full force to make it Panzermonium. So should be a terrific matchup in the Big Ten.
As always, many fantastic watches this week. So check your local listings, find your favorite team, know where they're playing, and or get out and see a game. All right, Dix, it's time for our give and go. And joining us today is the president and CEO of IndyTex USA, who's also a longtime listener and friend of the pod. George, welcome into the program.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. It's a great honor to be here. One of the things I was telling Dan the other day is I've appeared on the Howard Stern Show, the Jersey Guys, the Jake Chama Show, the Adam and Dr. Drew Show. I've been interviewed by CNN, the Wall Street Journal, ABC News. All of those pale in comparison. This is by far the greatest experience I've ever had involved in a podcast or any type of interview. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I was going to say, when you're naming off all those elite shows, why are you slumming it with us? But appreciate the love.
The opposite, Dix. He's finally arrived.
That is true.
He's finally arrived.
I've been on the Howard Stern Show once before, too. Not as a guest, but when I was doing a Big Ten game years ago, it was right in the middle of the hit him with the Hein rage.
Sure.
And so after Mike Sutton scored a goal for Penn State, I said they hit him with the Hein. And sure enough, it took like a year. But when J.D. Harmeyer put together all these hit him with the Heins, mine was on it. And Howard was like, it was during a Big Ten lacrosse game or something. Penn State, Ohio State. And then when I did the hit him with the Hein, Fred Norris laughed. So I was like, that made me feel really good that I got Fred to laugh.
That's great. They called me a genius.
I want to hear the story, George.
I called into the show, and I wanted to adopt this dog. Or they said someone should adopt this dog from the
North Shore Animal League.
North Shore Animal League. And my kids were bothering me. They wanted me to adopt the dog. So I said, all right, now's my opportunity. So I called into the show at 6 a.m. and they put you on hold for like 2.5 hours. I had a headset. I put it on the table and I just worked all day. So I'm sitting there working. My cell phone rings. I get a call. It's my counterpart in France. And so we're talking and we're going on it. And we're going through this literature we're about to put out for one of our new products. And then all of a sudden I said, okay, goodbye. Ciao, 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 ciao. And I hung up the phone. And all of a sudden my headset, I hear him say, George, pick up the phone. And I grabbed the phone. I said, hi, this is George. He said, George, this is Howard Stern. I said, hey, Howard. They were playing for 10 minutes. They were going around the room. Guess what George is talking about? And they were playing this game. And Robin guessed it. They said, what does this guy do? And she said, I think he makes hazmat suits. And they said, oh, my God. Oh. And she won. And so anyway, it's on YouTube if you want to hear the the 15 minutes of me calling in. Yeah.
At least you weren't sleeping and snoring like some guests in the past. They'll have you on. And Fred plays the lullaby music in the background.
Yeah. No, it was good. They were playing a game. What is George talking about? So it was a great, great honor. So,
you got the Bigfoot game, the Beetlejuice game, mm-hmm. and the George game. I mean, you're in rarefied air.
Yes, but they all pale in comparison to today's meeting. So I have two topics to talk about. Two topics.
Oh, okay.
Before we get into the give and go. Number one is you were talking about growing the sport. I feel as though, you know, on Saturday in the fall, you could put on a football game at noon. There's a 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8. And then on the West Coast, you could turn on a game that starts at 9 o'clock. I think they should do that with lacrosse. I think the games should be spread out. You should have a noon game. There should be a 6 o'clock game, especially a Saturday. Every Saturday night, there should be an 8 o'clock game. East Coast time. And then maybe if you have a West Coast, if Utah's playing, put that game on. I think it'll grow the sport. And then I'd also like to see that on Sunday. Sunday, maybe have a noon game. As you said, I've heard you, Dixon, in the past, the Sunday night lacrosse game, that's a great way to wind down the weekend. So I'd rather see that than a midweek game. I do love the midweek games. But I just think, so that you know, if you're a student of the game or a young person, you could get all day Saturday, all day Sunday, there's lacrosse on TV. So, George, I would like to see that.
Are you also saying that Towson, Loyola, Hopkins, and UMBC shouldn't all schedule games at noon on Saturday so that a fan can't go see any of the other games? Because that's what happens right now. That's one of my biggest complaints. I'd love to get Dixie's take on this, but you know, they're just the only person or only group. ESPN is really the one who's sort of coordinated some of those TV times in the past, and there's not a higher body who is helping with that at all. But it would be much better for the fans to be able to stagger some of those game times and have lots of opportunities for fans across the country to watch them.
Yeah, look, I don't know the logistics of those schools that you mentioned. Hopkins is not really as beholden to ESPN as you might think, simply because a lot of their games will air on Plus on the streaming app and then re-air on the U, tape delayed. So they're not super beholden to those time slots. I can tell you, lacrosse, as much as we love it, is still an Olympic sport. So it's with softball, baseball, everything that's not basketball or football. So programming windows do become a challenge. Look, George, I'm with you on the Sunday night game on BTN. It's become destination viewing. We get a ton of compliments on it, but the coaches aren't huge fans of it, especially mm-hmm. when they have to travel because, you know, the kids are sitting around all day and then they get home late or they travel back the next day.
Then make that your local game. Make that Princeton Rutgers or Loyola Hopkins, make it a Sunday night game.
Well, then you're not talking BTN. You're talking other conferences, other television entities, that kind of thing. Look, I'm with you on that. But you still might have that same argument from coaches, even though it might be local or whatever. So there are some legit, look, I don't disagree with you. I think it would be great to have, I mean, on college football Saturdays, you know, there's a noon kickoff, a 3:30 kickoff, and then what, like a 7:30 kickoff. If you could have that in lacrosse, that'd be terrific. But a guy like me, and Dan knows this, and my buddies know this, like, you know, if I'm not working, and we're not watching, you know, my older son, Matt, play at Loyola, I'm on the couch from noon until whatever, different devices, streaming, network, yada, whatever you got. I can't get enough of it. It's for my job as well, but just as a fan, I love to watch games.
And I do like to say that we are living in the golden age of lacrosse viewership. Every program has their own way to stream their games, taking their video board feed, or if it's not like a broadcast type production level, and it's pretty good. And you can get through different streaming apps just about every game you want to see, or through school websites. And, you know, for a lacrosse fan, it's really never been a better time. But I agree with you, the staggering of game times, and if we could somehow organize that better to be able to see multiple games at this throughout the course of the day would be a great thing.
And it's for the good of sport. It's for the good of the sport.
It is. It is. And the other thing that I would say is, to your point, Dan, and I know there's some challenges for viewers out there. Oh, I don't want to have to pay for this, or the camera angle here or there. Just remember, even as recent as 5-7 years ago, for some of these programs, the only way to really follow the game in real time was live stats. No video, no audio. The one complaint that I will have, and I got to be careful here because I need to respect, I know how hard it is to call games, but some of these schools that have rich traditions could do a much better job of hiring people that can call a game professionally. And I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Great questions, George, but we got to get to the give and go. Let's get to the give and go. And I think
it's something great.
This is a topic you both are going to like, because you're both lax dads, but you're also officials who have done your share of summer lacrosse games. And today's topic is, I want you to rate how annoying these summer lacrosse parents are on a scale of 1 to 10. 10 being the most annoying, one being the
okay.
I might want to hang out with this person. It's not so bad. 1 to 10. All right. First one, the parent who yells wheels whenever his son gets the ball. George, I'll let you start.
I would give that person maybe I'd give them probably about a 5, because it doesn't bother me. They're not yelling a lot. It's a one word answer, and it's they're a 5. That doesn't bother me too much.
I'll go 5 as well, because it makes me laugh, because you know it's coming, and then you're like, when you see somebody starting or something, you're like, oh wait, who's gonna yell wheels? And then you hear it, and you're like, there it is. So it's not too bad.
So you're saying it's almost a required, someone has to say it at every game, or it's not really a summer league game. That's right. What you said. All right.
It's an expectation.
How about the dad who yells at other people's kids? And not, let's say, these aren't shouts of encouragement. These are just yelling at the other kid for
error. You missed the slide?
Those kind of
things. I think on the annoying factor, I think that guy is probably a 10, maybe a 9.5, because if he knows that much about slides, he should be coaching. He's on the wrong sideline. He should be with the coaches. That's number one. And you shouldn't be yelling at, when you're on the parent side, you should only be yelling at your kid, and it should only be encouragement. That's my opinion. So I would give that guy a 10. I don't want to hang out with him.
I agree. Maybe I'm at different events. I don't really see a lot of parents yelling at other kids, other than their own kid. But I have had the experience of standing behind parents, and I guess they don't know who I am or who my kid is, and they're talking about my kid.
Oh.
And then when you see them, they're like, oh, hey, you know, so-and-so played a great game. Or they don't know I'm there. They're like, oh, hey, I just want to let you know Matt played a great game. And you're like, uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
That's somebody, like, 1 out of 10, I want to punch him in the face out of 10.
What about the parent who just constantly yells at the ref about everything?
That's a 10 out of 10, man. I actually have to tell people to cool it with that. I love the, you're 30 yards away. How can you see that? Well, that's why there are three officials on the field. It's called a trail, especially on a shot or a sideline or something like that. That's why you 500 yards away sees it and calls the cop. Was he not supposed to call the cops because the guy right next to it didn't see it or didn't call it? Yeah, that's a 10 out of 10 for me.
Okay. Now, as an official, you're not going to, I know I'm in rarefied air here. As an official, I think when you pay to get into the event, that gives you the right to yell at the official. I think so. I have no problem with people yelling at me when I'm on the field officiating. You want to yell all you want, it goes in one ear. I don't even hear it. So I just don't. And you know what? Sometimes they're right. Sometimes I did blow the call. So I know I'm it's a rarity, but I just think if you paid for the event, you should be allowed to yell at the ref. Now, riding the ref, like, you know, the ball comes back and forth and back, and you're still about yelling about the offsides that happened 3 minutes ago or the crease violation. We're beyond that, guys. Let's go. Let's move on. But I think you should be. It doesn't bother me when they yell at the officials. No, that doesn't bother me.
Now, it's big of you to admit that you've made a mistake reffing a game, but Dix has never made a mistake, so he doesn't understand what you're talking about.
So not true. So not true. Look, I mean, George, you know this as an official, like, your communication with the coaches is paramount. It's paramount. There have been plenty of times where I'm like, coach, I think I might have missed it, you know? And then they're like, you know, they're still angry, but they tend to let it go. But they might throw it back in your face later in the game.
Here's what I said. Dix, I used to do high school and college basketball 25 years ago. Here's what I said. Every time the whistle goes to my mouth, I'm about to go, 50% of the people are going to be really happy and 50% are going to be really upset with me. So here's the thing. Just try and make the right call, because they're just going to yell no matter what. You're going to get half cheering. So, and you know what? When they yell at me that I blew the call, sometimes they're right. Sometimes I did blow the call. So we just have to move on. And so that's my feeling. So yelling doesn't bother me at all. Not at all.
How about the parents that wait for you in the parking lot after the game? You ever have that?
Oh, that I haven't run into yet.
Had that a couple times throughout my career.
Yeah.
All right.
That's always a good time.
Scale of 1 to 10. How annoying are these summer lacrosse parents? Okay. The parent or the mom who walks around with the Yeti cup filled with wine, or the mom who has the undercover mimosa bar in the little wagon that she pulled out of the SUV, the little fold-up wagon that she's pulling around with her chair and everything in it, and wants to get all the other parents drunk.
A one. I love that mom. Probably because they're going to share. Number one. Number two, they're day drinking, which is also always fun. All right. And number three, it's their weekend too. So why not have a little fun with them? So I think I encourage those people. I think the games would be a lot more fun if we had more parents like that. So I would give that. I'd want to hang out with those moms.
All right. All
How
right.
About you, Dix?
I hate it. I can't stand it. I don't know why people feel the need that they have to drink alcohol during youth or high school sporting events. That's what, you know, Friday night, Saturday night is for. You go out, you have some drinks. I'm not big on drinking during, you know, youth or high school athletic events.
Oh, okay. I didn't say they're good parents. And I didn't say, I said I want to hang out with them.
Well, I probably don't want to hang out with them because they're the ones yelling at the refs.
They usually are. Okay.
And yelling, we love to watch you play.
So what number would you give them, Dix?
8.
8. All right. I give them a 1. I love those moms.
All right. How about the dad who's 75 pounds overweight, but is constantly yelling at the kids to hustle or dogging them because they're tired? Like, oh, you're tired. How about that, Dad?
So that's a double-edged sword for me. So I'll tell you a quick story. My son Owen just finished his club career this past summer. Last tournament he was at was the NLF National Championships at Lehigh. And his Crabs 2023 team won that national championship. So it was a great weekend. But my wife and I, as we were driving into Lehigh with Owen, we're kind of like, man, it's a little bittersweet, right? You know, last kid, last tournament, blah, blah, blah. Once we turned in, you see them, I mean, the gravel parking lot, the millions of cars, the fat dads walking around, the drunk moms. I'm like, God, I can't wait for this to be over. Like, forget everything I just said. And it's 9 million degrees. Oh, my God. But with that being said, it's funny because, you know, most of them are from up north, you know, get the ball. so it's kind of funny. So it's like a 50-50. That would be a 5 for me because it can be entertaining yet so sad at the same time. George. And they normally have the cutoff shirts on too, cutoff sleeves, you know.
As long as they're yelling at their own kid, I could give them a 2. I'm okay with them. You know why? Because they're my comedy for the day.
That's exactly.
Look at that guy. Yeah. Look at that guy yelling at his own kid. He got winded carrying a chair to the sidelines. So they're my comic relief for that Saturday game. So yeah, so they don't bother me too much. As long as they're not yelling at my kid. If they're yelling at their own kid, okay. Yeah, but that's just.
All right, last one here. Again, annoying on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most annoying. This is the snob parents of the summer lacrosse team. So like the superstar players' parents who don't want to associate or hang out with the kids at the bottom of the roster.
I've never really experienced that, quite honestly. So I can't really comment. I mean, if that were to take place, I think if that were to take place, the kid probably wouldn't last, you know, or the family might not last very long on the team.
Dan, do you think that, Dan, hold on. Do you think Dixon might be that snob parent?
I do.
Because his kid was always the best one on the field. Maybe that's what it is. What do you think?
Could be. So when I'm watching games, people will stand next to me and want to talk and stuff. I'm like, you probably don't want to stand next to me because I talk to myself because I call games. So I'm talking to myself the entire time like a crazy person. It's not that I feel like I'm better than anyone else or don't. Game time to me. So you talk about the drinking, right? Game time to me is not socializing time. It's watching the game, trying to see what's going on, what's happening, trying to enjoy the game, but I'm anxious and I like for my kids' team and my kids to play well and have a good experience. So I'm very anxious and uptight during games.
Dolly's that guy, George.
Totally. What's that?
Dixon is. Guy. Yeah.
I admit, hey, look, if you're going to call me that guy in that realm, I'm not the snob. I will hang out at the tailgate. And when I say tailgate, it's the food for me.
The tent.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I'll hang out at the tent. You know, I talk to the parents. We're great. But I'm uptight during games.
All right, George, what's your take?
I know we didn't talk about this, but like the moms that scare me are the ones that are tan year round. They scare me. The ones that wear the big hats, like the big straw hats or the, and not just in the summer, but the big dumb hat. What else? We talked about the alcohol piece. The dads who have the uniform, you know, the vest or the quarter zip. And this is going to sound terrible because I know a lot of college parents do this, but the parents that get the number on the swag that they get mm-hmm. of their kid's mm-hmm. number. Like that to me, and I played, I'm kind of like, that's like what your kid gets. You know, if you want to get, you know, for me, it's like a Loyola University sweatshirt or a University of North Carolina sweatshirt. I will get that. But parents are like, oh, how come you don't have Matt's number on it? Well, because that's Matt's number, not mine. So those are three things.
All right, Dix, I disagree with you there.
Okay.
I have a special embroider guy near me. I bring all my lacrosse stuff to him, and I have my son's number embroidered. I think it's support. It's showing your love for the kid. It's like wearing, if you're a Ravens fan and you're wearing something that says Ravens during the game time. I'm going to disagree with you on that one. I'm a huge
That's
fan.
Cool. I got no problem with that. That's just my personal preference. Right. And sometimes, and look, I don't want to have the number written on me because, you know, if I can sneak and be stealth and hear somebody trashing my kid, you know, I want to be able to sidle up.
Well, that's just it. You lose your, you can't be anonymous at that time.
Yeah. You lose your anonymity. So,
yeah.
Dude, this was fun, man. Awesome. We got to get more sponsors to pony up.
This is the price you also pay for being a celebrity like Mark Dixon when you're on the sidelines of a lacrosse field. I think you and I, George, we can be a little more anonymous while just walking around, right? Yeah.
Although after this podcast, I'm afraid people might pick me out. They'll hear my voice and pick me out, and they'll come and ask, "What's Dixon really like behind the scenes?" And I'll say, "I don't know. I only met him on the podcast."
You can say you wouldn't believe what was left on the editing room floor,
right?
Especially when they talked about face-offs.
You can say,
I do want to say.
You can say, yeah, stay away from that guy.
I do want to close with one thing, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Did you ever see the TV show on Amazon, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
I've never watched that, but Dan has encouraged me to watch that.
Okay. It's a very good show. It's a very good show. In the first season, first episode, the man is trying to become a stand-up comedian. So Mrs. Maisel, she makes a brisket and brings it to the bartender every time he's going to go perform so that he gets on stage early or gets a good time slot. So what I'd like to do is, my wife last week made a lasagna. So I'm hoping that if I come down to the Dixie D-Fly podcast with a lasagna, maybe I'll be able to get on the podcast again or get a really good time slot.
You know, I mean, absolutely, but you don't have to bribe us with food. You're a good man. You're a good man.
That's kind of you. That's kind of you.
I'll take the lasagna.
Okay. I'm not saying I wouldn't take it, but you know,
I don't have to bribe you with food. I don't have
my wife. Speaking of TV shows, my wife and I just started watching on Apple TV Shrinking. It is really good.
What is it?
It's called Shrinking. It's Jason Segel, Harrison Ford. It's my wife is a clinical therapist, so it's about like mental health. But it's a comedy. It's really, really good.
Yeah. Well, I'll check it out. Got a recommendation here. All right, that sounds like a good place to stop. We'd like to thank Indutex USA, our presenting sponsor of this episode. It was great having you on, George.
Thank you. As I said at the beginning, it's a great honor to be here. Thank you.
If you like what you heard, please like us on your favorite podcast app and leave a review. Tell a friend. Share the love. It's free, and it helps people find our conversations every week. We always love to hear from you. So give us a shout on Twitter. He's at Dixon Lacrosse, and I'm simply at D_FLY. And as always, enjoy the games.